Ron McLean, Hockey Night in Canada and CBC Olympic coverage. He joins us now on the Andrew Walker Show. How are you, sir?
I'm great. And how are you, Andrew?
I'm doing awesome. We pre-taped a bit in studio with Andre DeGrasse earlier. We're going to play that for everybody. And I don't know, I was blown away. This is a guy that's so young and so talented. And that spotlight in the moment is so big because this is like the 100-meter dash, as you know, it's just the rock star event of the games. And I was just amazed at his composure throughout the whole couple of weeks.
And even now, you're going through, or at least I know I personally feel like I'm going through the dark days after the period where you're in that shining light, that searing light of a major games. And I know a lot of athletes really crash, and even broadcasters. Don Cherry used to tell Luba, his wife, you know, Luba, might be a good idea if you head over to Wolf Island with Blue for 2 days after I come home from the 60 days of the Stanley Cup, because he says, frankly, I'm not a great guy to be around when I'm coming off that treadmill. And I know Alex Despatie, with whom I spent just about every day during the Rio Games, because he was doing the morning show for Radio Canada, the SRC French broadcast, and we would have a beer at 5 in the afternoon, and I'd see him again at 5 in the morning as we drove into work. And he told me that after the London Olympics, which was his fourth and final, he stayed locked in his room in his home for 12 days, didn't come out. And he, on the 13th day, there was a corporate golf tournament for one of his major sponsors, and he was trying to figure out a way to get out of that. And then he finally just thought, no, I can't. I have to show up. They've been great to me for over a decade. And he said that kind of snapped him out of it. But, you know, DeGrasse will be feeling that. He was everywhere. He came to the Tragically Hip show for us. He was obviously interviewed a number of times after the three medals. He was omnipresent, so I know he's got to be just absolutely spent, and I'm glad you got a chance to spend a little time with him because he'd be fragile, but he is a wonderful kid.
The where did this games stack up? I mean, you've been to so many of them, and maybe like we talk all the time about recency bias, right? It's easy to say something front of mind is the best or the worst you've ever seen. We all know that the 22 medals equals a non-boycott high, but I just felt there was so many moments that captivated the country, whether it was different teams or even like I we had Damian Warner on the other day, and I'll never forget kind of where I was when he needed the clutch javelin throw to save the podium. I felt like there were so many of those moments this games.
And Breanne Tyson-Eaton did the same thing. She had to nail a javelin in order to get to the bronze medal position in her, which was sixth of the seven events. So you're right. It was a very special games. I would put it kind of on par with Beijing. And sometimes it comes down to, Andrew, that element of surprise. They always say in the hotel business and even in the entertainment business, probably the greatest factor is surprise. When you go in with your expectations, as ours were, dulled by the Russian doping and by all the other stories, you know, to have a great experience over the 16 days is that much more special. It's like going to a movie with low expectations and it hits you just right in the heart. So that, it was for me, but Beijing was where Usain Bolt came out. And
yeah.
He, you know, we are obviously in the presence of something, and that's what was so great for Andre, to be, you know, 1-2 as the sidekick to this legend. I just can't even imagine. But Bolt is so special. And Phelps came back to what he was in Beijing, which is so special. And Simone Biles is a gymnast that's right there in the rock star category. But it was great. And the other thing that I think made it so great is I know you were just discussing the Jays and how you handle you know the mindset with which you go through phases. The Canadians were top to bottom good people. Just they were good. They consistently showed good nature. Good sportsmanship. Obviously, probably the best example was Evan Dunphy, the 50K walker. Who in the world would have thought we'd be watching a 50K walk? That happened on my morning show, so maybe nobody was watching.
But no, I watched an hour of it. I couldn't believe it.
I remember the only other experience like that for me was 92 in Albertville, France, when we got caught. Prolignan was the venue for curling, and they had a problem with the ice-making equipment, so the Canadian curling game we were about to show, and it was just a demonstration sport that year, but of course we love curling, or a lot of the country does, so we couldn't show curling. We went out and watched biathlon, the skiing and shooting, and you know, I thought, well, this is going to be just awful. We got to sit there and watch this for 2 hours, and it was equally captivating. It was just brilliant, and so when Evan Dunphy picked up the kid, Dinez from France, who had buckled under a stomach virus, and he, you know, just great. There were a lot of those moments of tears and kindness and just true Canadiana.
Ron McLean, our guest, Hockey Night in Canada, and of course CBC's Olympic coverage as well. And what made it great too is that we did get events, we did get moments that we just didn't expect. And the Penny Oleksiak story is one that will I mean, you know, you'll tell your kids and your grandkids about it because it's just never happened before. It's tough to compare it. She's 16, and this is not, you know, Nadia Comaneci at 16 years ago. This is the first time we've had an athlete that has just defied all our expectations quite like she did.
And the pool is electric. I've always said my favorite experience in all my Olympics, and this was the 11th that I anchored and the 12th I was involved in, was Marianne Limpert's silver medal swim at a 200 IM in Atlanta in 1996. And I was there on the pool deck. And honestly, Andrew, the only time I felt myself overcome and sort of step outside of my professional boundary and fail to kind of keep my composure, because it was just so great the last 25 meters. And all swimming is like that. You know, they don't measure to the thousandth of a second, so you get a lot of ties, as Penny found in her gold medal swim. It was a gold medal tie, and Phelps was involved in a very celebrated three-way silver medal tie with two other world champions. They don't measure to the thousandth because they can't guarantee the 50 meters of the pool will be equal for all lanes. Pools tend to shift with people in them, temperature either outside or inside the water, how the pool was poured, whether the liner shifts. So they think it's not fair to go down to the thousandth. And it's a very dramatic sport. It's a great television sport. And Penny, you know, was the first one to medal in 20 years. So that was, you're right. That was, and the other thing you referenced were the teams. I think Penny actually kickstarted one other really neat trend of the games, and that was the women, the Canadian women, in every sport across the board now have, it seems, a role model. And that was a great story that happened here at these games. But the teams, and another good example of that, were the rugby sevens. The women, Jen Kish, their captain, was, you know, just megawatt smile, beautiful, gentle personality behind this tough-as-nails athlete. And I got a huge kick out of one of her teammates, Ghislaine Landry. I met her again at the HIP show. And she'd got caught just after the Worlds on television dropping an F-bomb, and we had a great chuckle about that. And when we were talking at the HIP concert, she used the F-word again. She said, "See, I can't stop. I can't." And I said, "Don't worry, in hockey, we wouldn't live without that word." So she was a very impressive athlete. Karina LeBlanc came in and did the soccer for us. She was a former goaltender on the bronze medal team in London, and that team is magic. Christine Sinclair and the women's soccer were just unreal.
Ron McLean, our guest. So it's a bit of a name drop story, but I know you'd appreciate it because you seem to know everybody from every avenue. So I'm on vacation last week, and it's the Tuesday night. So it's the night that Derek Jeren wins gold in high jump, and so I'm down in New York, and I'm at Yankee Stadium, and I'm just by myself, and I'm just cruising around, and who do I see? But I see an old Olympian. I see Johnny Morris, Kevin Martin's third. From Vancouver. He's an easy guy to spot, but I knew him from back west. And so I kind of yelled at him. I ended up spending the evening with those guys, and we watched the game, and we were in this section with a bunch of Laurier grads. And it was fun to watch. It was fun to be part of a Canadiana type of thing with a guy that did have a gold medal around his neck. And that was the night where they came back in the Yankees and Russell Martin hits it out. And wouldn't you know it, right when Russell Martin hits it out, that's when I checked Twitter, and that's when Jeren wins the gold. So there's a bit of a Canadiana for you.
Well, and a neat thing about Derek Jeren that I didn't find out until my wife Carrie informed me of this, and I'm ticked off I didn't learn it. I was giving her the gears last night. During the high jump, which happens over an eternity, it seems, because certain guys don't come in till heights, and certain guys need to go like Derek did, 220, and keep working his way up. Anyway, at a moment in the night when they were doing a medal presentation, Derek stopped and took off his hat and stood for the anthem, and he was the only jumper to do it. And I'll find it. I bet you we had a camera on Derek the whole evening, so I'll get that for it's good Don Cherry kind of story, right?
Yes.
Kids out there, you know, take off your hat, and so. But there is, again, just one of those, you know, the fact that you were celebrating. And that obviously came, you know, full circle when we did the Tragically Hip show. It's, before I left for Rio, I went out to Victoria to catch show number one of the concert. And, you know, God, through some small grace or miracle, I ended up in the bar with Gord and his brother Patrick and drank for about a half an hour talking. And, I mean, he was just incredible. And so to end up with the show and all the athletes kind of gathered with us, Rosie McLennan and on, I should not name names. But again, that was one of those moments like you had at Yankee Stadium. In fact, when I feel like, you know, we've had that moment the two times the Jays won the World Series. Don Cherry and I were in bars, once in Philadelphia and once at outside the rink in Tampa. Both times we were on the road the night the Jays got it done.
Philadelphia wasn't the Philadelphia World Series, was it? Or was it the year previous?
Well, you know what? Let's see. Joe Carter hits it out when I'm in Tampa. So it's, the comebacker to Timlin. Yes, it is. So we're obviously in Philly doing the Montreal Canadiens. That's right, right?
He hit the walk-off against Mitch Williams against Philly the second year. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
You're right.
Because I was going to say Philly would have been a dangerous place to be that night.
Yeah. So we were in Philly on the first one. And we were with Habs fans, and that was a really funny thing, too, because we're in the bar, and Quebec was just kind of ramping up for its referendum. And Don Cherry's got these guys from Montreal in their Canadian sweaters, and he said, "Now look, you're voting and you're going, right? You're not just going to go vote and say you want to leave and then not leave, right? You promise me if you vote to leave, you're going to leave, right?" And I'm thinking, God, Don, you know, we're having a few beers here, and it just couldn't run away. But he didn't have any qualms about talking that way, and what a night. I'm supposed to be watching the Jays, and I can't take my eyes off Grapes and these Montreal fans, but really a funny night.
So to put it into perspective, because, I mean, I was surprised. Like, the tour, the hip tour comes along, and that final game, or the final concert in Kingston, it was more wild than I even would have envisioned, and so there you are, and we watched kind of your intro, and it was it was vintage you, and it was so well done. But I wonder, with all the stuff you've done, and you've done so much, where does that in a weird way rank? Because it's not like it happens every 4 years. It's not like it'll ever happen again. It's not like there could ever be a comparable. That was a one night only kind of last concert of the Beatles type of feel. Yeah. It was very unique.
But thank God, for some reason, Andrew, I feel like either through age or enough comeuppances in my life, you know, when I did Maple Leaf Gardens closing, that would be on par with how in the hell does a kid from Red Deer end up being the guy emceeing the closing of Maple Leaf Gardens? It just doesn't make any sense. Hmm. Nor did it make any sense to be the guy introducing the hip. But at least, as I say, with my age, my seasoning, I felt like the perspective was, now this is all for Gord. This is all for Gord. It's got nothing to do with me. And the only, sort of nightmare in my mind was, I've got 90 seconds to try and explain these athletes around me and shift gears and introduce the band. So my mind was going 1,000 miles an hour on the 15th day of the Olympics, where you're a bit spent as it is. And, I remember I kind of reversed the lyric in the line from The Wherewithal. It's, I always loved that guy. He's not on TV anymore. He had the wherewithal to get out. And I reversed it, and I said he had... how did I say it? I was just still tired. But I reversed it anyway. I put two words in the wrong place, and no one would know. But I knew, right? So little things like that happen to you when you're in that sort of walk of life. But I could roll with it. I just really didn't care one bit.
Yeah.
I just was trying to make a real nice, simple introduction of the band as a five-man unit. Five sticks is better than one, as we know in hockey, and not, and try not to be too melancholy or too maudlin, because it was getting, and tougher by the minute. The enormity of it, the sadness is the only word. The sadness you feel at how glorious and lovely it is was hard to bury and keep it a rock show and keep it on the joyous, burner.
And it was weird, too, because I would like to think it wasn't necessarily planned. Like, you never know when the news comes out and they plan this tour and there's the last date. And so maybe it was on purpose, but who knows? The last concert culminated with one of the peak of the Olympics, and so all of Canada is watching for the Olympics, and all the Canadian athletes are there, and it's a great Olympics, and it just, the Canadiana just oozed. And I don't know if that was on purpose or if it was just happenstance, but it couldn't have been more perfect.
Well, they're sharp guys. Gord, he wanted this concert more than anything to be a resounding success, to build a nest egg for everyone, including especially the roadies, the people, that have taken care of the band. Like, I sat, again, that night in Victoria after having a few beers with, particularly sat with Johnny Fay for quite a stretch and Robbie Baker for quite a stretch, and then Gord and Patrick Downey. They must have gone to bed at some point, but I found another way to stay up for a little bit. And so I get up in the morning a little bleary and go to a coffee shop to bring coffee for some of the gang I'm with. And there are the two, his manager, Bernie Breen, and his tour, agent, Patrick Sambrook. And to see those guys sitting on the front steps of the Empress Hotel, which is a majestic, a typical Fairmont hotel, it just looks like Buckingham Palace, set against the sunrise, two smiles very similar to the one Gord Downey usually has, that sort of an impish, grinning delight, but it's not cocky in any way. I just thought of all those folks that, are part of this and that Gord's doing the tour for. So he would have had the wherewithal to think about that and to make sure that this was a home run for the sake of the people he wants to help on this maybe last kick at the can.
Ron McLean joins us on the Andrew Walker Show. So one hockey question before you go. We just got caught up in the hip. I could talk about that all day, but the World Cup is coming up. It's new. It's different. We got the Jays. We just had the Olympics. So yes, it's not top of mind. And Logan Couture gets named, and Duncan Keith is out, and it's kind of a whirlwind. What do you think the reaction is going to be? Are we going to be surprised at this weird level of emotional investment in a month?
Yep. I think we're going to go right down the path we went a year ago with the Pan American Games, where we were convinced that, you know, the biggest news of the day would be the lane closures on the QEW.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, by day one, people were demanding, come on, CBC, put more of it on. And that just comes back to a neat mix of nationalism, I suppose, to some extent, is always an underlying threat, you know, that makes the competition good. But more than that, Andrew, it's just seeing the world come together and do the thing that you like. It's really fun to see that, you know, to have the Russians, to have all these countries come and play your game. So we will get swept on, especially now in sort of the afterglow of the games. I absolutely think it'll be rock solid. And one of my nice moments in the Rio games was when I was interviewing Karina LeBlanc, the goaltender, and I showed a highlight from Euro 2016, which I hadn't really thought too much about. I mean, it was on TV through the days, and I would glance, but I wasn't sort of a devout follower of that. But I showed the Germany-Italy shootout and how the German goaltender Neuer came over to the Italian keeper and gave him a little pat before they went out to face the firing squad, and how the Italian goaltender kissed Neuer after the German won. And I just wanted her to sort of feel this good sportsmanship. And she said, well, you're talking two of my favorite goaltenders of all time. And she explained how Neuer had changed and revolutionized the game. And that came out of, you know, Euro 2016 is going to be what the World Cup is like. So I think it will be a very special tournament, even if, you know, ahead of the thing, we see it as a commercial money grab. It won't feel that way when it's done.
Whether nationalism comes into it or not, whether we have the same emotional ties, and I'm just speaking of me, I will watch the 23 and under game.
Yeah,
like it's just must watch, right?
Well, and I, you know, again, everybody's taking such good care of themselves now, but as a rule, kids are in better shape earlier in any season. You know, the kids come out all guns blazing, they're fit, they're young, they're fast, their timing's a little better, so they're going to be hard to handle. And how do the veterans on the country teams, you know, respond to that North American squad is going to be very interesting. You know, traditionally, in the World Cup, especially in 96, the theory went that Mark Messier was not going to take, or Adam Graves, were not going to take a run at Brian Leetch. And they weren't really even that interested in scoring on Mike Richter, their great goaltender with the New York Rangers. But I feel like this one's got a chance to get a little more heated because of the kids showing up, the veterans. That could happen.
Yeah, you've played in like charity events before, like pro-ams, and I have too. And it's always the same thing. Like there's all the normal people, and then you have a few, you know, ex-NHLers on your team, and it's all fun and games. Until you're down by two with about 2 minutes to go, and then
right.
And then everything gets real again. Like I think that's kind of how it's going to go when the kids play the old guys.
But Andrew, the pros are pros. You know, that's the one difference in the dynamic you just mentioned. There's a lot of people who are not professional and don't understand the dynamics or the stakes. The pros do, so that might save us from anything getting too far off the rails. But it is one little catalyst that I kind of foresee.
Ron, thanks for this. As always enjoy our chats, and thanks for making time. We appreciate it.
Me too, Andrew, and thank you, JD, as well. Cheers.